If anyone is missing a key, has just been turned in, looks like a house key, so you may not be getting home tonight if you don't, or you might not get into your house anyways. You might get home. It's up here if you need to get it at the end of the service. And you may be noticing, if you are viewing the service online tonight, that it's looking a little bit darker in the pulpit. Well, you need to pray for more light in the pulpit. One of the reasons is that our light is out at the top up here, so that's why things are looking a little bit gloomy. Well, we hope that there will be not a hindrance to the word of the Lord that is received tonight. We've had the joy this last month of having Mickey and Abby Schultz with us in our home. They are here for their education. They were here in the month of September and then in June to write some exams. And they'll be heading back to the Czech Republic. Of course, Miloš and Martina and the whole family well known to our congregation because this is their home church. And as they're serving the Lord in the Czech Republic, let us keep them constantly in our praying that the Lord would bless them. And so as they take their leave from us tomorrow, it'll be a sad parting for us. We've enjoyed their fellowship, enjoyed their help, certainly in the school and during the time of the play that took place there just a couple of weeks ago. And time has gone in so quickly, we're sad to see them leave from us. But I've asked Mickey to come and share with us a word of testimony and just a brief report on the work in the Czech Republic. So Mickey, you please come and do that now.
I'm very thankful that I can be here today and for the opportunity which was provided for me over the past year to complete my high school education through the school here. It was a real answer to prayer for me in an unexpected way, and I would like to express my gratitude to all those who went out of their way to make this possible. Less than a year ago, everything was still very uncertain as far as my education went due to its unofficial nature. I had been praying for the Lord's leading in this area, and it has been a real blessing for me to see it all coming together in such an unforeseen way. I am very thankful for what the Lord has done for me thus far, and I pray for His help to finish the course, whatever He has in store for me. I would like to bring you greetings from my parents and from the work in the Czech Republic. Building up a faithful work from nothing is in what is often considered the world's most atheistic country is certainly no easy task, and it's a slow process. And we often compare ourselves to the preacher Noah, who by the world's standards would have been considered a complete failure with only his family for his congregation, but not by God's standards. By God's grace, we're not that badly off, and we have a few faithful people that come regularly and some that come every now and again. So that's a blessing, and it has certainly taught us to be thankful for the small encouragements and have a greater appreciation for them, and to have our expectations of God and not man. Just before I finish, I'd like to share with you a few verses which the Lord used to encourage me recently, the night before an important final exam. I had been studying very late, and as I suppose is always the case, I felt anything but ready. And I trust that they will be an encouragement to you. They are found in Luke 5, verses 4 to 6. And I know it's a fairly well-known passage, but it really stood out for me that night. Luke 5, verses 4 to 6. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And if you think about these verses for a minute, I'm sure that you'll see how special they would have been for me that day. The disciples had been fishing the entire night with not one catch until the Lord came and their net got so full that it could not hold the weight. And as I thought about this, I thought what a true picture of life it was. Without the Lord, we can waste our whole life fishing or doing whatever it is that we do with absolutely nothing to show for it, while with Him, there would not be room enough to receive the blessing. I know that there are some here, like me, pursuing higher education, and others who are in the workplace or even retired. And I'd like to encourage all of you. I know in the modern day there's a great emphasis placed on success. And I'd like to encourage all of you in the truth that true success is found only in the Lord. And any of our own efforts outside of Him and His will are in vain, and they are a complete waste of time. But in Him, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. And I'd like to leave you with just one more verse, and it's a special one for me especially, because as many of you know, I run competitively. And it's from Romans 9, verse 16, and I think it really drives this point home. It reads, "So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." And lasting success does not come about by any of our own efforts. Our responsibility is to follow the Lord, and then success will follow us. Thank you.
One of the challenges that the Schultz family had when they went overseas for McKean Abbey was their education. They had been in our Christian school for several years, and so when they took their departure from us, they had to homeschool, and there were just certain things. They had come into the Czech education system kind of partway through, and so they have been both working, really, in many respects, educating themselves, following close with our curriculum, and our teachers that have been working with them on certain subjects have been very helpful. And it's been a distance learning education program. But they have done very well, and they have succeeded in accomplishing those things. But I would ask for your prayers for a certain point. We just learned in the last couple of days that the Czech government is putting up or has some very difficult restrictions regarding a diploma that comes from another country, and in this case from Canada, and them accepting that going forward. Mickey's already been accepted into a business program, a university in Prague, and they have no problem themselves, the university, but the government is putting up a bit of a block at the moment. So we're asking for the Lord to take away that restriction, and it will not be a hindrance for them. The rest of the Schultz children, the younger ones, well, they are actually working through the Czech education program, so they don't have the same restriction. They're still homeschooling them, but at the same time, they are all under the examination of the education system there. So that's certainly a thing for us to keep in prayer. Mickey will be flying out tomorrow afternoon, but they have to go down to the consulate tomorrow morning and see if they can get some help in beginning that process of clearance that is necessary for them. So thank you, Mickey, for that word of testimony. And please take the greetings of our congregation back to your mom and dad and to all the congregation there in Liberec. Please turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. The book of Isaiah, chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train or his garments filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain, with two, he covered his face. And with two, he covered his feet. And with two, he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, "Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." Let's bow, please, before the Lord now in prayer. Father, we give thanks tonight for Thy presence with us in this meeting, for help in singing, and already reading the Scripture, and the testimony of our brother. And now, Lord, we just pray that our minds will be settled, our hearts will be still, and yet very alert. May we know the speaking voice of the Holy Spirit to our hearts. Lord, help me tonight, I pray, to speak as the Lord's messenger in the Word. Let it not fall on deaf ears. Let it not fall on ears that are distracted. And, O God, may the Word sink down into all our hearts. We might see something more of the beauty and glory of our Redeemer, that He will be magnified in our gathering tonight. So hear this, our prayer, and bless us now, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. We have read tonight from two portions of Scripture. One, the last book of the Bible, where the scene set before us was of the throne of God and of the risen Christ upon that throne. What we are confronted with here in the book of Isaiah is the same Lord Jesus, but He is sitting on that throne in glory, high and lifted up. But it was before He came down in the incarnation. It was before He took on human flesh. And so these two great presentations of the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Word of God, present Him in His great glory. And as we think about this portion of Scripture tonight, we are given a time frame from the point of Isaiah the prophet. It happened after the death of the king of Israel by the name of Uzziah. Uzziah was a faithful king in Judah. However, during the latter time of his life, things went a little wrong, and he did some foolish things. And yet, after his death, the Lord brought His servant, Isaiah, to see something he had never seen before, and he would not see again until he entered into the glory of heaven when he died. I'm envious to some degree of what Isaiah was able to see as a servant of the Lord Jesus, as a prophet of the Most High. He saw something that prophets longed to have been able to see. He was set apart by God for a great purpose, and the vision that he was enabled to see, brought into the very throne room of heaven to see, was most unique. I want to speak to you tonight on this subject of the impact of a sight of Jesus Christ and what it will do for us as believers in giving to us unconditional surrender. A sight of Christ will lead us to unconditional surrender of our lives to Him. That has been our theme in this house over the last number of weeks. And certainly as we were considering what it was to know days of heaven upon earth for the Christian, these words from Deuteronomy chapter 11. When it was presented that the people of God on earth, why they had the great prospect, something set before us, that we could know such communion with God on earth, that we would be bringing heaven down to earth, that we walk with the Lord in the Spirit of God. That was the presentation for the people in the Old Testament. And certainly as they knew God and walked with Him then, how much more are we to receive that truth from Him, walking with the Lord day by day in our time? We have the Scripture. Christ has come. He is risen from the dead. He is back in glory again. And the Spirit of the Lord is one that abides with the child of God. Moment by moment, we have His presence with us. We know Him. But we also know that in the varying challenges that you and I face as a believer today, our faith is challenged. The Word of God is challenged, and how we will live in obedience to that Word is challenged in our time. We are living in very difficult days. Difficult because persecution may not have happened for us in our land against in physical ways, but certainly the persecution that comes against us mentally, the persecution spiritually, it is there. And it's only a precursor of what leads to perhaps the more physical kind. Certainly Isaiah lived in times where he knew something of this as well. And this time and juncture in his own life, where he was a prophet of God to speak the word of the Lord through thick and thin, through good times and bad times, when it was easy under the protection of the king to do it and whether it was not so easy, and also when it was well received by God's people and when it's not well received by the people of God. A faithful man of the Lord will always have to be there speaking what God calls for him to do. Isaiah, the great joy of presenting Christ in the Old Testament so clearly, he spoke about his birth. He spoke about his life. He spoke about the work he came to do. He knew that the Lord Jesus would be the one who would come as the Lamb of God. Our iniquities would be laid upon him. Isaiah 53 speaks about the Lamb of God going in silence to the cross. You see, Isaiah had the joy of speaking 700 years before the time of Calvary. He exploited. He preached. He encouraged the people that the Messiah was coming. The Lord Jesus Christ was going to be the one to spring into human history And he was going to bring the light and truth and hope to mankind. And Isaiah was the one also who spoke very strongly that the word would come to the Gentile nations. We were thinking about that last Wednesday evening in the baptism service, thinking how Cornelius was the man who received that word from the Lord. And Peter was able to pray with him. And through that operation, God opened the door to the Gentile nations, and the gospel was being spread far and wide. And Isaiah spoke of all these aspects of the work that God had for him to do, for Christ to do. And yet here, in this portion, Isaiah is seeing something that has set him back on his heels. He knew the Lord. Of course he did. He was a prophet sent from God. He knew what it was to be a man of faith. He knew what it was to trust in the Lord. But in that time, he was going to be brought into the presence of the Lord, into the glory of Christ, in such a way that he had never seen him before. The very opening verse of chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. The glory of Christ is what Isaiah saw at this time. The word for Lord given in verse 1 is the word Adonai. It is the Lord as King. It is the Lord as ruler. The Lord who is to be worshipped. It's a different word from Lord that is used a little bit farther down in the chapter. It's interesting when it says that his train, the train of God filled the temple. It was such a sight of splendor for Isaiah as he was brought into this place. And he sees there God himself sitting in that place, the sovereign ruler, as one who is not standing, but one who is reposed upon that place of authority. And he sees God in his eternal work. He sees him as the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it was a throne. It was a place of worship. And so as Isaiah is brought into that situation, he humbles himself. He falls down before the living God. If you turn over, please, with me for a moment to John's Gospel, chapter 12. John's Gospel, chapter 12. Notice, please, from verse 37. But though Christ had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? From Isaiah 53. Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart. They should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory, and spake of him. When did Isaiah, the prophet spoken of here in John 12, When did Isaiah see the glory of the Lord? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. You see, what was very clear is that the Lord who was referred to here in Isaiah chapter 6, in Isaiah 53, and throughout his book, is the same Lord that was being spoken of here in John chapter 12, which again proves the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. What John was revealing was very clearly that the Old Testament was full of the Savior. And as he walked upon earth and did many wonders, even though people refused and rejected the miracles that he did, they were in the presence of the King of Kings. And yet they refused him. They did not believe in him. They rejected his truth. See, my friend, the glory of Christ that Isaiah saw was one that was tremendous, mighty. It humbled him. He saw the Lord's magnificence. He saw him in wonder and honor. But that's not all he saw. He saw the holiness of Christ in that great vision. Back to Isaiah 6 and verse number 3. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. When we think about this compared to the reading in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8 and the great splendor that is set before the throne of the glorified Christ, there is one thing that marks the throne of God, one thing that marks the presence of the Lord in glory, and that is his pristine purity, his holiness. He is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. There is no unrighteousness in him. God is a God of absolute and total purity and holiness. And therefore, sin cannot abide in the presence of a triune God. There is no mistake that three times the word holy is used. Is there a connection or a link to the Trinity of God the Father and the Son and the Spirit? He is holy, holy, holy. And you know, believer, when we think about the purity of God and his righteousness, it is something to inspire us in our Christian walk that we are also to be holy as he is holy. We are also to walk as he walked and was without sin. And as that word comes to us as believers, be ye holy as I am holy, what a high mark that is for us to follow. And yet this is the very word that is commanded to us. Sometimes in our life, we look very lightly at sin. We can be conditioned to receive or accept sinful things. At one time, they may have been very onerous to us. We would have shunned them. But over time, we've come a little bit familiar with these things. And we don't see them as so difficult, perhaps, so sinful. Oh, friend, it's good and healthy for us to pray again that we would be brought to see sin as our God sees sin. That we would see unrighteousness and impurity the way that the Lord looks upon it. I believe that the more we are impressed with God's great holiness, the more it will inspire and help us to resist the devil, that he would flee from us. The more we will be empowered by the Spirit of God with a desire that we would be like him and that we will turn away from all forms of unrighteousness. When Isaiah was brought into heaven, he saw the glory of Christ. He saw the holiness of the Savior. When he saw those two things, he was confronted by his own sinfulness. Look at verse 5. He said, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Now, what is significant here, you will notice Lord is in capital letters in this verse. And so the Lord in verse 1, that is Adonai, is Lord in verse 5, Jehovah, the Lord of hosts. And so this same person that Isaiah has seen comes to us and is presented in all his glory, in all his fullness. When Isaiah is confronted by this, he is smitten in his heart and he sees his condition before God. He sees himself as a sinful man. He sees himself in great need. "Lord, I am undone because I am a sinful man. I am an unclean man and I dwell in the midst of a people that are sinful." When Daniel, in his prophecy, realized that the fulfillment was come when the 70 years had been completed and Israel was to go back into the promised land again, he began to pray. And there is no sin in the Bible that is marked against Daniel. And yet he prays himself, "Lord, we have sinned against you." And when we come before God, it's not enough for us to say, "Lord, they have sinned." Lord, it's "we have sinned." And Isaiah said, "I am unclean, but I dwell in the midst of a people that are unclean." And we have to acknowledge ourselves before the Lord, friends. And we acknowledge ourselves in our present condition and how we need the daily cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ. And John tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friend, you see yourself as Isaiah saw himself. There is no room for pride in the heart of a Christian. There is no place that we have to think, "I don't have need anymore of learning. I don't have need anymore of correction. I don't have need anymore of improvement in my life." No, friends, we always see ourselves, and we certainly need to, that we are in a condition that the more we see Christ, the more we come into fellowship with Him, the more we are walking in communion with Him, the more we see ourselves as impoverished. The more we see ourselves as needing to be cleansed, to be purified, to walk in holiness before the Lord, of unclean lips. Here was a prophet and a preacher and a mighty man of God in the Old Testament that wrote much in a major prophet's way. Yet he saw himself as just a man. He saw himself before the Lord as one to fall upon his face. You know, sometimes we see our sinfulness before God, and it is good to examine. It is good for us to come before the Lord and to confess that which we have grieved the Lord by our bad activity, our bad manners, our wicked thinking. And to bring all of these thoughts before Him and say, "Oh God, my lips are unclean, my heart is impure, I need to be cleansed afresh, and our sins will bring grief to us." What should they do? Should they drive us away from God? No, that's what the devil would do, reminding us of our sin. No, they should draw us toward the Lord. They should draw us whereby we fall before the presence of our God, seeking His mercy and favor, seeking forgiveness and cleansing. You know, that's the great difference between guilt that the devil would bring against us, saying we are unworthy and unprofitable servants. And when he does that in our minds, we think to ourselves we are unfit to come to God. And well, we may be. We're unworthy to come. That's true as well. You see, friends, the devil always drives us away by reminding us of how guilty we are. But the Spirit of God, he draws us to the Lord when he convicts us of our sins. And that's the great difference between conviction and guilt. As we sense our wrongdoing, and as the Spirit of God brings us to conviction of our sin, let's, friends, run to Christ and not run away from him. He saw his own sinfulness, but he also knew the Lord's mercy in forgiveness. Look at verses 6 and 7. Then flew one of the seraphim, the angels, unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and he said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. It is so significant that the coal of fire, the live coal, it was burning. Of course, now, as Isaiah is in heaven, we're thinking about the symbolism of what is being done here. This coal is taken and touching his lips, and the purification that is taking place there, the coal from the altar. The altar was the place of sacrifice, the place of the shedding of the blood, of the burning of the animal sacrifice, burned unto the Lord, the place where the lamb was slain. The picture here is Calvary. The picture here is the shed blood. The picture here is the purification of our sin away when we have our lips touched. And it's interesting that he touched his lips and not any other part of his body, because the lips symbolize that which is used to speak. And our speech has been corrupted and polluted from our birth. And yet, even though Isaiah was a saved man here, the lips, the speaking vehicle, see, that's still where we as Christians, we often offend. We often defile. We often bring grief to our own hearts, for sure, because we use our voice, we use our lips in the wrong way. We offend people, or by the things we speak. It's bad enough to think them, but if they pass through our thoughts and out through our mouth, then we will dishonor the Lord. But Isaiah realized that in this situation, here was a man who was a mortal being brought to see that which no mortal had ever seen. And he realized he was undone. He was unraveled. And yet God had mercy upon him as he humbled himself at that very point before the Lord. You know, friend, if you have sinned against God tonight in some way, and you feel the conviction of that sin, you know the grief in your own soul, you need to come and seek the Lord tonight. Maybe you have gone away from the Lord for a number of years, and you've backslidden away, and you know it's not right tonight in your own heart. And right now, God is touching you. You know, if no one else does, you know. What's the answer? It's certainly not to just ignore and put this thing off and say, I'll do it some other time, and not be too concerned about that tonight. No, my friend, do not put this off. Do not be prepared to say, another time I will seek the Lord. Another time I will put my testimony right. Believer, tonight and now is the time, because God has presented us with another occasion, coming into his house, reading his word, being presented with God's truth. Friend, today, now is the accepted time. That verse is so often used about evangelism. The accepted time for Christ. Well, now is the accepted time for us as His people to renew our faith, to rededicate ourselves, to say, Lord, come and cleanse me, for I have sinned, because I want to be pure and I want to honor you in my life. So, the Lord in mercy purged His servant and cleansed him. And He purged him and cleansed him in order to prepare him for something greater, something more that He had for Isaiah to do. And I think about the sight of Christ that he saw, and the sight by faith that you and I need to see of the Lord Jesus high and lifted up in His glory. Friends, what we need today is, as we see the Lord, to be brought to a place of unconditional surrender, saying, Lord, what do you want of me in my life? Maybe God has been speaking to you tonight, friend, about giving yourself in full-time service. Maybe there's some work that He's been doing in your heart over this last while. He's pulling, He's calling. But you've been putting off and you've been resisting. But the Lord is calling again tonight. And He is saying here, as He did to Isaiah, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Verse 8. The Lord is looking. He's looking tonight in this congregation. He's looking tonight about those who are listening online for this message. And the Lord is asking this question. Who will give himself, herself willingly unto my service? Who will go for me? Whom will I send in my work? We know that in this portion we have the glorious picture in relief of the Son of God answering this call as He would go down to become mingling with sinful men. He would go down to the cross. The Lord Jesus would go and He would answer this call. But most definitely there is a question for us, for you tonight, for me. Will we go? Will we surrender ourselves unto God's will for our life? You say, well, I don't know what that's going to be. And I don't know what that's going to be for you either. But it starts with a heart that is on the altar of sacrifice for service. It begins right here. And so as we think about this tonight, I impress this upon you. Because, friends, as we recognize who the Lord is in our life, and we realize how holy that the Lord is, and when we have repented of our sin and we pray for God to cleanse us, we're asking for Him to take and use us in our lives. What does He want of you tonight? What does He want of me? Young person, as you're here in this meeting, has God been speaking to you? Is He touching you? Is He calling you into service? Maybe you've resisted. Maybe you've been putting off. Tonight, say in your heart, pray in your soul, Lord, here am I. Send me to do your work. Send me to do your bidding. I will go, Lord. I want my life on the altar of sacrifice for service, because there is no greater life that can be lived than a life devoted unto Christ. That is to the honor of Him. That is for the glory of the Son of God. That, my friend, is for eternity. And as we devote and give ourselves to Him, He is no man's debtor. Them that honor me, He will honor. As we give ourselves unto Him, He has promised to bless us, to guide us, to direct us, so that there will be no mistake and no regret. It may be tonight, friend, you're in this meeting and you're not a Christian. You're not a believer. Tonight is a night for you. God has given you another opportunity. The gospel is open. The word of God has been presented. And yet maybe you've heard the word before, you know the truth, and yet you've been resisting. Resist no longer. Say, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. You need Christ tonight, and you do not know if you have another opportunity will ever be given to you again. Ah, believer, pray tonight, right where you are seated, for your own submission of heart. Unbeliever, pray where you are now that God will have mercy upon your soul, that He will bring you to Himself, that you will know the joy of forgiveness of sins, the joy of knowing that you have a home in heaven. And as you do that this very night, you will have the peace of God that passes all understanding. And you also will see by faith the wonder and the glory and the beauty of who Jesus Christ really is. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Dear Father, I pray that the Word of God will continue to speak in every heart. Lord, save tonight, we ask, some soul here, brought in by your providence, again hearing the gospel, but yet not saved. Father, speak to their hearts tonight and bring them through to salvation. And yet there are others who know the Savior, and yet there's been some issues in life. Father, we pray for restoration. We pray for rededication. We ask, Father, that young hearts would be surrendered and submitted unto Thee. Lord, call from this congregation men and women, lives given, hearts given, that will be used in full-time service. Lord, hear our prayers now tonight. Bless us as we go our way. Be with us in the fellowship time downstairs. Help us to eat and drink to Thy glory. Hear our prayers, Lord, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.